I join Brother Don, Brother Daryl in welcoming you tonight. Thank you for being here. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 tonight, we're going to continue our series. We've been studying through the foundations passages in our church devotional reading, if you want to call it that, the little foundations books. We still have a few of those books available, I think, out at the Welcome Center. And so it's never too late to start spending time with God every day, and I trust that as God has continued to reveal these wonderful truths to you, they've encouraged you, because I know that when we spend time with God, it will transform our lives. It will change us. It's the one of the key factors in the spiritual life toward growth and maturity. And so I challenge you, and we try to highlight a few of the passages here on Sunday night. As we look at this, last week you'll remember that we were in Psalm 139. Some of you were surprised that I was able to get through 24 verses in one message. So that was amazing, wasn't it? God does wonderful things. And so I entitled that little message in Psalm 139, and God grew it in my life, and I think it struck a chord in a lot of other people's life, just the reality of knowing that He knows. And if you weren't here, I trust that you can look at that on our website and download that or request a copy of that. It will do your heart good to know that God knows. Living in an awareness of His knowledge of your life can be a game changer for everyone. So oftentimes, and so the psalmist started that chapter, Psalm 139, and he ended 139 with a simple request: search me, O God, and know me. And there is just a transparency there that just moves me in a way, and I know that it touched many of you, because I heard a lot of wonderful feedback just on how God was using that psalm in your life. And I think I even had someone tell me, it's probably Miss Judy Stell, that was the reading for the daily bread. Amen. Miss Judy, Judy keeps me up with the daily bread for that day. And I'm not opposed to daily bread. I know I've made some jokes about it. I said, that's a good primer for your devotions, okay? But that's all it is a primer. You need to go deeper than that. And you need to, you know, you don't want to spend your whole life just eating appetizers, do you? You want to get to the main course. And so we're trying, in the context of church life here at Central, that's the reason we've introduced the foundation reading to you as a simple plan to help us be more involved in our daily discipline of spending time with God. Because it's, you know, we preach messages, and we're honored to be able to stand here and share from God's word and preach and proclaim God's truth. But it's God who can change you. It's not your pastor. We are the delivery boys, so to speak, and your Sunday school teachers, and the ones that are mentoring and discipling you and encouraging you. We are the ones that help, and together we're all growing, hopefully, closer to God in this Christian life that He's called us to. So we know that He knows. And so this week our reading took us beyond Psalms, and it took us into 1 Kings. And so when we look at 1 Kings, we see that Solomon took over the reign. And Solomon began his reign. And God told Solomon, who we're told in Scripture was the wisest man that ever lived. And He said, you can ask me anything you want, Solomon, for anything. What can I do for you? I'm just paraphrasing. And it's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3, and it's also recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, that Solomon asked for God, and he asked God to give him understanding and discernment to lead the people, or wisdom and knowledge, as Chronicles says it. And he didn't ask for wealth, and he didn't ask for power or prestige or popularity. He asked for something that was honoring to God. He asked for wisdom and discernment to be able to lead the people. What an honorable request on Solomon's part. His heart was right. And God honored that request and gave Solomon wisdom that we're told in Scripture surpasses anyone else. And so our foundations reading chronologically places the book of Proverbs right here in the life of Solomon, because Solomon is the one God used to give us most of the Proverbs. And so this was interesting to see this. In fact, over one of our daily readings, I believe, this week was 1 Kings chapter 4. And it really described that wisdom. And it said that there in that passage, I found that kind of unique, in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, that Solomon literally gave us 3,000 proverbs. And Daryl, it also says he threw in a few songs too, over there in 1 Kings chapter 4 about Solomon. So you see that. And so the theme of this book of Proverbs, as we know, is wisdom. And, you know, it integrates in with proverb. Proverb is a short statement based on a long experience. A short statement based on a long experience. The actual Hebrew word proverb means to be like. To be like. And so we see that they point us to the way of a godly character and a fulfilled life. They're tidbits of truth, is the way I would just put them here to us. And they deal a lot with how we live our life. And so as I was reading and studying and looking this, and of course wisdom is the overarching theme of the book of Proverbs, and God tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 to get wisdom and to seek after wisdom. And wisdom almost is one of those terms that's difficult to define. It's almost larger than words. There are other terms that are that way. And sometimes we have to be careful defining certain terms because we're fencing in perhaps something that God says is far more than that. And so wisdom, just as I would give you off of the top of the cuff and looking at this and saying this, is the capacity to assimilate and appropriate learning prudently. And so wisdom would be, in another sense, the ability to apply the knowledge that you know. And so knowledge tells us these things, and we can learn a lot. We apply ourselves to learning. But in the truest sense, when we look, and God even in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 does kind of a play on words between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. And so we're thankful for those passages that remind us. But in the truest sense of the word, there's really no genuine wisdom apart from God himself, because God is the source of true wisdom. And I guess if I had to give it a working definition, although I said it's very difficult to fully define the term wisdom, it would just be seeing life from God's perspective. And I think I would even be challenged here before you tonight to go beyond that. Not just seeing life from God's perspective, but living life from God's perspective. That's wisdom. Living life from God's perspective, with God guiding us. And so it is the Lord who gives wisdom. We're told that even in chapter 2. We're in chapter 3 for our little thoughts this evening. But in verse 6, we're told very plainly that it is the Lord who gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So when I was looking through all this, as always, anytime we have these daily readings, it's hard to just tune in on one thought, but I always enjoy hitting highlight passages that have familiarity, and there's probably none more familiar than Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that we'll use as the bulk of our message tonight, because this is a message that, a word that has been shared, and I just want to bring us back to this to make sure that we're still living in light of these truths. And because as I try to help people, and I know Brother Don, the rest of our pastoral staff, and many of you, I don't think there's been one question that has probably came to me in ministry more than any other question. And that is helping people discern God's will for their life. That's one of the big ones. And we don't want our lives to live and just going through the motions. Brother Don mentioned Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. I think he hit some of those same big themes in that wonderful work that he did a few years ago to help us understand that God has called us and given us a purpose, an existence. And what God's wisdom for our life is really doesn't match up very well to what the world says their standard of success is. They're totally contrary to one another. And this passage tonight will even lend itself to that as we see that. So knowing that he knows me, as go back to last week, Psalm 139, he knows when I rise up, he knows when I sit down, he knows where I go, he knows what I do, he knew when I'd be born, he knew the days of my life, he knew the day that I would pass from this life. God knows all these things about us. He knows me better than I know myself. And knowing that he knows, then wouldn't it just make sense that we would seek his will for our lives? Because as I've often said it, and just want to remind you again tonight, and it's kind of one of those thoughts you have to let sink in. If you knew what God knows, you would want for your life exactly what he wants for your life. Now, it's conditional because ultimately we don't know everything that God knows. But if you knew everything that God knew, you would want for your life exactly what God wants for your life. And so as we think about that and we understand, wouldn't it make sense that we would truly and seriously seek God's will for our lives? And when you're in God's will, in the center of God's will, there's no greater place to be. When we're outside God's will, there's no greater struggle that will come into your life when you sense that. So let me read these few verses and then we'll get into the text. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight, your path. Very simple, two verses, very profound. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this passage of Scripture that just really helps us make sense of your will for our lives and how, Lord, you promised to direct our paths. And I pray, Lord, that we'll just give time and thought tonight and that your Holy Spirit will help us grasp these truths in a deeper way even as we spend time just looking at your word this evening. And I thank you for each man and woman that is here tonight. And I pray, Lord, through the preaching and ministry of your word, that you will awaken us once again to your greatness and to your glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this, God tells us, first of all, in this passage, very simple little outline tonight. First of all, I've entitled this Total Trust. And first of all, God tells us in the first verse that I read to you, verse 5, that if there's going to be a total trust, then there needs to be this trusting confidence that comes from your life and my life. He says in the first of verse 5, trust in the Lord, how? With all your heart. So he tells us, first of all, that we need to trust in the Lord. Now, the Lord becomes the object of our faith right off the bat. And so a lot of times there's really a message that could be really given to the thought of who are you trusting in tonight. And he alludes to this even in this passage when he says in the second part of verse 5, do not lean on your own understanding. But he tells us to trust in the Lord. And faith in Jesus Christ and trust in Jesus Christ is something that we have to grow in God's grace and knowledge. You remember the man, the father, that came to Jesus on one occasion, and he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, we're told in Romans chapter 10. You know, trust is something that's kind of tricky. This word trust, it literally means to cast all hopes for the present and the future upon another. To trust means to find shelter and security in that source. This is the etymology of the word trust. To cast all my hopes for the present and the future upon the object of my trust. You know, the Bible is very clear that, you know, sometimes we talk about, even I do in counseling and in relationship issues and dealing with people, it's hard for humans to learn to trust one another sometimes, because sometimes trust is not something that's freely given. Trust is something that's earned from a human perspective. And so you got to make sure who you're trusting in is trustworthy. And there's none more trustworthy than Jesus Christ himself. I mean, who can top trusting in Jesus Christ? He is the creator of the universe. He's the giver of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as he reveals about himself to his disciples in John's gospel as we see this. But sometimes people will come up to you, and sometimes they're maybe just messing with you a little bit or joking with you, and maybe you've been put in a situation where someone will say, well, will you do something for me? And you kind of hesitate, and you say, well, that depends on what you're asking me to do. No, just trust me on it. Now, that may be okay, and it may not be okay. If it's someone I don't know that well, then I'm probably not going to buy into that. If it's my wife I've been married to for 30 years, I can trust her totally. She has proven her care and cultivation of my love for her and relationship together, then I would probably buy into it. We're not talking about human trust here. We're talking about divine trust, trusting in the Lord. I just use that simple human illustration because there are people in this life who have trust issues. A lot of people don't really learn, and so maybe you've struggled in your spiritual life trusting in the Lord because there have been other people in your life who have let you down. And unfortunately, that is a truth that we deal with in a lot of situations, in addiction and recovery ministry and things of that nature. A lot of the men that come into Renewal Ranch that we work with have major trust issues. They have let other people down. Other people have let them down. Parents who are dealing with foster care situations, they see major trust issues that have been broken down, because the one people that kids should be able to trust more than anybody is mom and dad. And God has ordained that. But even God steps in and he stands in the gap. Amen. And he helps rebuild our trust. And it starts as he reveals himself to us, and we see him as altogether lovely. We see the reality of who God is as God manifests himself to us and makes himself known and reveals himself to us in so many, a multiplicity of ways through creation, through revelation of his word. We can trust in God. The more you get to know God, then the more you feel like, I can really count on this God. This God is a God who has my back. This God is a God who really loves me and cares about me. He tells me of his love through Scripture. This God is a God that I can learn from, that I can look to, that I can actually lean upon and depend upon. This is a God that I can believe in, and I know I believe in him, but I want to believe in him more. I can trust in the Lord. And you can too. Because to know God is to love God. And the reason some of us struggle with our love relationship with God and our ability to really trust him fully is because we just don't know him near well enough yet. And that's the reason your pastors urge you to get to know him. Get wisdom. Now, it's interesting, and you can turn with me very quickly over to 1 Corinthians. And so I want to tie this in, because even in Proverbs, we see that the writer of Proverbs has a personification image of wisdom. And he presents wisdom as a person, gives wisdom a pronoun, even she, in chapter 2 of Proverbs, as we see this. But in 1 Corinthians, we find out exactly who God's wisdom is. And so in case you doubt or wonder, you can see this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, but those who are called, both Jews and Greek, he tells us, he said, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You want to see wisdom? You look at Jesus Christ. You see the ultimate revelation of God's wisdom. And so when God, the Bible tells us here, trust in the Lord, God really means it. He's calling us to place your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, initially, I know that you understand this to be, hopefully you understand this to be, I don't want to be presumptuous here this evening, that this trust in the Lord and this trust relationship begins at salvation. When God reveals himself to you and a fresh way, and the light comes on, and this knowledge of who God is and God's will for your life begins to unfold in a very dear way, when you realize that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that if you would trust in him and believe in him, that he would give you eternal life. And so the trust begins right then and there. And God wants you to grow in that trust and that relationship and that knowledge of God. Because knowing God's will for your life, and if you get nothing else I say tonight, I think this is something I hope you'll really remember. Because I said that this little message really deals with the issue of God's guidance for our life. And God's going to guide you. The more you trust him, the more that this guidance is just going to become more just obvious to you. It's not going to be a big dilemma. It's just going to flow just natural in and through your life, that this is God's will for your life. See, God's will for your life is not so much a roadmap as it is a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ, even as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, Brother Don hadn't got to chapter 3 yet, so that's free range for me tonight. He said, to know him. And Paul desired to grow in that knowledge of him. He had all these earthly accomplishments, Paul talks about there in Philippians chapter 3, but then he said none of it was comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate thing in all of life. And there's so many things that have a tendency to distract us from that. And so he tells us here he wants it to be total confidence, as I've titled this first section of this little thought tonight. Because the reason the word total comes from is the second phrase of that first phrase, the second part of that first phrase, trust in the Lord. How? With all of your heart. With all of your heart. Not with half-hearted commitment. That's just such a sad commentary on so many lives today. They think just a little dab of God will do, and so they just barely start to trust God, and they still are trusting self, and they're still trusting just humanistic and materialistic and secular thought and modern philosophies of life that exist. They're trusting all these other things and giving them equal reign in their life to how they're building their whole understanding and their whole ability of discernment, so that they can make decisions in life, and they're not basing it solely on the person of Jesus Christ and that relationship. And so we see that he says, trust in me with all of your heart. We struggle with half-hearted commitment issues. Like I said, we think just a little dab of God will do us. And we maybe yield ourselves a little bit to Him. And we're starting the. And if you're young in your faith and you're growing in God's grace and knowledge, then that's one thing. But if you're someone who's been walking with God for a number of years, but you still keep reverting back to trusting other people and other things more than God, that's a whole different thing. And we've got to understand that God desires of us total trust. He wants us to trust in Him with all of our heart. And the heart at different times can be a tricky issue. And so he goes on to say, and he kind of warns us here, the second part of verse 5, and do not lean into your own understanding. And that's a tendency. It might not just be your understanding, but it might be the understanding of other men and women and well-intended people. A lot of times when we're seeking God's will for our life, and we're going to go through this real quickly here, a lot of times we run to people who we think will agree with us. And that might not be the person God wants you to run to at all. So don't be leaning on your own understanding. Lean on God. I told you, you could learn from Him. You could look to Him. You could fall deeply in love with Him. You can lean on Him. We used to sing that old gospel songs, leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. So there has to be this trusting confidence. And then the next verse, verse 6, takes us into what I'm going to call the total commitment, as he's going to go on to expand on with all of your heart, because then he kind of just breaks it down even more freely for us. Because he says here, not only are you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And so not only am I to trust Him, but now he's challenging me to go even a step further and acknowledging Him. Acknowledging Him. Are you acknowledging God in all of your ways? Proverbs is very clear, and it gives us many insights on this, but just to really kind of go through this and see, because there's so many things. Even verse 7 tells us on this that kind of goes with, and it wasn't a part of my original text, but it's right there, the very next verse. Do not be wise in your own eyes. See, sometimes we're not acknowledging Him sufficiently in our life, and maybe we've got Him kind of categorized, and we say, well, I'll acknowledge Him on Sundays when I go to church, but Monday through Friday, I'm still working on that. I'm just not there yet. But see, God wants us to acknowledge Him, and what this literally means is we must see God as being the one who has the right and the rule to rule over every area of our lives. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. God has the right and the privilege as Lord of my life to rule over every area of my life. Now that can break down in your home life, your social life, your vocational life, your leisure life, your recreational life, and any other type of life you want to add into that. It's all of your ways. Are you acknowledging God in all of your ways? God asks us to, and He wants us to. As I said, He's not impressed by our half-hearted commitment, and that goes with, and He continues to drive this home, because not only does He want us to trust in Him, He wants us to acknowledge Him. He wants us to acknowledge Him, simply calling this knowledge of God, and God, You're included in this. You're a part of my finances, God. You're in part of my decisions, God. You're in part of the job that I choose, the career path that I go on. God, I need Your help. I need Your guidance in all of these areas of my life. God, You're a part of my leisure life, how I spend that leisure life. You're a part of my rest, because why? He knows when I lie down, and He knows when I rise up. He's a part of every area of our lives, and God's Word is very clear on this. And so, as I said in my introduction a minute ago, never forget that God's will is the very best thing that you will ever experience in your life. And the more you taste of God and you taste of His will for your life, because for some reason we have these preconceived motions when I talk about on this in verse 6, the in all of your ways acknowledge Him. Sometimes we think that God is some kind of killjoy and He's just trying to take us in a direction that we don't want to go in. That's just not true. Now, there certainly could be a struggle there, and you're not really selling out to God and surrendering to God and yielding your life fully to God. Just like he tells us in Romans chapter 12, that Paul says, I urge you therefore, brethren, based upon the mercies of God, all that God's done for us, that you would yield your body as a living sacrifice. And so he wants us to be yielded to him, and that's part of that total commitment. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. But it's been observed by many great theologians who I've read after through the years that that living sacrifice that God says, just lay your whole life on the altar, the tendency is we keep getting up off of that altar. And then we have to come back again to the altar and say, God, here I am. I want to acknowledge you in all of my ways. God, I want you to be a part of my friendships. I want you to be a part of my marriage. I want you to be a part of my ministry. I want you to be a part of everything that I do, God. I want to acknowledge you. And you say, well, preacher, that's good for you. You're a pastor. You're a full-time vocational minister. Well, that's not just good for me. That's good for all of us. I promise you, you'll never be more fulfilled than when you get smack dab in the center of God's will for your life. And so he ends this thought at the end of verse 6, not only with the trusting confidence and the total commitment, but he gives us what I'm going to call the thrilling consequence. And boy, is it thrilling. Because here's the promise. He will make straight your paths. The King James translation says he will direct your paths. When you study this word that's sometimes translated straight, sometimes it's translated direct, it's the Hebrew word yasher. And what this word means is to cut a path or to clear a way. We use it sometimes, it was used of John the Baptist when it talked about he will make straight a way prepared for the Lord. Sometimes we use it in terms that they will clear the way. And when I think about God saying he's going to be the one, God, if I will trust in you with all of my heart, if I will acknowledge you in all of my ways, God, you're going to clear my path for me. Do you get it? God's going to go before you and he's going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. And that's the promise God has given you here. I've seen this play out in my life in so many ways. I tell people jokingly, because I talk to people all the time, praying with people here in the church and in life in general, about just decisions in life, real practical decisions, about finding a house, selling a house, finding a job, being in the right job. Folks, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. He'll go before you, and he'll open the doors, and he'll pave the way, and he'll reveal himself to you the way only God can reveal himself to you. That's what God is saying. Now, we know that God reveals himself to us. You say, Pastor, you make it sound so simple. Just let me refresh you of the main ways God reveals himself to us through his word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, Psalm 119. Just a simple, you know, if you want to know God's will for your life, devote yourself to devotional reading and daily reading of God's word. So many people are running around with their heads in the sand, so clueless, not knowing God's will for their life, and it's been weeks and months and perhaps even longer than that since they've spent any real time with God in his word. This is not some joke here. This is the revelation of God to me and you. You want to know God's will for your life? God mysteriously speaks to us as we yield ourselves to the study of this word in a way that is humanly undescribable. God will speak to your heart through His Word, through the ministry of His Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. Brother Don mentioned that this morning. That means He's our helper. He's the one who comes along beside us. Folks, I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. And I love it when God comes along beside me and helps me. And boy, I'll go with that every time. I love it when brothers and sisters in Christ come alongside us and we encourage and support one another. But nobody can hold you up and support you the way God can. And so God is here to direct your path. So He's going to do that through His Word, through His Spirit, through wise biblical counsel. Now that might come through a sermon, it might come through a song, it might come through a Sunday school lesson, but God will reveal Himself to you through, it may come through a counseling session. And it don't even have to be a formal counseling session. It could be a conversation with mom or dad, or it could be a conversation with a trusted Christian friend. But I'm challenging you, it better be a conversation with somebody that you know to the best of your ability is walking with God. If you're wanting to know God's will for your life, don't go seeking advice from somebody who's clueless about God's will for their own life. You'll get yourself in a lot of trouble. God reveals Himself to us through His servants in many ways. I heard somebody say this the other day, and women, please, don't let this go to your head. Oftentimes, I hear the voice of God through the voice of my wife. I believe that. If you'll check out Genesis 2, God said she would be your helpmeet, suitable for you. The only other time God uses the word helper in that manner is when He's speaking of His Holy Spirit. Pretty significant, but it illustrates the point, biblical counsel. Biblical counsel. And then God reveals Himself through providence and circumstance. Now that's not going to be primary, that's going to be secondary. But I said God will go before you. I'll never forget when Teresa and I were moving, and I've got really a story for probably so many stories, but this was one that was significant. We were moving to our second pastorate in Memphis, Tennessee, and Teresa was trying to be a good helpmate, and we were trying to prepare, and we didn't have a place we were going to live, and we had three little babies, and I was just, you know, flying by the seat of my britches and just saying, oh, this is going to be good, you know. And she said, Mike, where are we going to live? And I could tell it was really stressing her out. And so we were 2 weeks out, and it was at lunch one day. I said, let's kneel down here, and we prayed. And I said, God, we know You're leading us to Memphis. We sense that in our hearts. And if You're not, then reveal it to us. We need a place to live. I went back to the study, and in 30 minutes, we got a call from one of the church members in Memphis and said, there's a house right next to me that belongs to another minister in West Memphis, and he's not using it. And he said, y'all could use it if you want it. Do you want it? And I said, amen, we want it. What is that? That's God going before me and directing my paths. And He'll do it for you, just like He does it for me. I've seen Him do it. I could tell you hundreds of illustrations just like that, and many of the brothers and sisters here could tell you the same thing. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Let's stand together tonight. Brother Don and I'll be here in the altar. You know this message, if you're struggling with God's will, you may just need to come and just take me or Brother Don by the hand and say, would you just pray for me that I can have this discernment? Would you just pray for me that I can just get connected again with God's will, be more devoted in my life the way this passage lays out for me? It's not some secret, it's commitment. It's getting serious with God, and God will direct your paths. Brother Don and I'll be here if we can help you. Amen.
soul.